Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Ranieri. It's the second hour of our show, whether you're watching us, of course, on Pluto TV, Zumo TV, Stir, even YouTube or sportsgrid.com. As we mentioned right before the break, we're going to bring back our special guest for today. You can find him over at Fantasy Alarm, fantasyalarm.com, and hosting his show every single day for 2 hours on satellite radio. Howard Bender back with us here. We covered a lot of fantasy football. Those of you who watched our first hour of the show, that's cool. If not, just go back on demand on YouTube. We timestamp all of the conversations that we have and exactly what we talked about. So just hit that rewind button. Don't forget, like and subscribe to the show as well. Howard also writes for the New York Post. He put out an article that was very dear to my heart, something that I have been saying here on the show now for a month and a half. I couldn't convince my old co-host, Frank. I think Joe is on board here, though, with this, is that basically Howard did an article essentially saying, if you had a fantasy baseball draft already, you got to redo it again. And why this is being met with any kind of contention, I'll have no idea. Howard, I'm 100% on board. How can anything that we did 4 months before a season began be relevant? It is not. It should be redone. I totally agree with you. Why would anybody go against this? That makes no sense to me.
I don't understand it either. Let me qualify one thing. I did say, though, if you're in a dynasty league and you ran, like, your rookie draft, or right. If you're in a keeper league and everybody declared their keepers and then you drafted, then, you know, obviously that you can kind of keep in motion because that goes from year to year. But if you're in a redraft league, I mean, I don't care. Head-to-head, roto, best ball, whatever. I mean, it should all just be thrown out the window right now because, yeah, I mean, listen, player values are completely different now than where they were, a couple of months ago. I did the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association draft in January.
That's ridiculous.
January. I mean, it's like there's no more Syndergaard. There's no more Chris Sale. Guys who weren't supposed to be playing are now all of a sudden going to start the season on time. I mean, the valuations that you should have put on your players months ago is completely different. And any strategy that you used in a draft was not based on playing, you know, a truncated season all in Arizona. How about that dude who loaded up on Rockies on his team because that was going to be a great move for him offensively, right?
Yeah, we don't know.
Garbage now.
No. And the other part of it is, too, and this was reported today, Joe and I spoke about it earlier in the show, and I think, you know, this point also drives a major thing home for me as well. is at the time that we're doing the show, as we're sitting here on April the 28th, we have no idea of the minor league season. If there is no minor league season and no minor league players available, you're telling me that it's the same strategy having a fantasy team now than it was 3 months ago, when literally every kid that you took to get a possible call up in July or August either is not up or they're up already because of this. We don't know how many rosters they're going to be. And this notion, Howard, that everyone was playing on the same playing field, yeah, they were. They were playing on a playing field trying to walk on water and falling in the deep end. I mean, what kind of credit do you get for drafting a team that's completely meaningless? So, you know, Howard, I think that in a couple of weeks we'll get some clarity. And when we do, maybe the season's 80 games, 90 games, 100 games. Maybe it's played in five places, 4, 3, 2, 1. I have no idea. But when that happens, why are we such in a rush to use all of our old teams? We're going to have plenty of time. Just redo it. It makes so much sense.
Yeah, there's all this talk about a three-week spring training that they're going to end up doing. I mean, listen, I get it. Everybody's lives are all up in the air and everything's been upended and your schedule is going to be tight. But you know what? I mean, that doesn't change the fact that if you drafted 15 teams before March 1st, that it's even worthwhile. Like, why would you want your money laid out if you're, you know, whether you're doing a best ball on RT Sports that costs you $20 to enter, or whether it's your home league and you've got $100 entrance fee on that. I mean, I just, you know, you talked about rosters. I mean, how many players do we know? You know, they're talking about possibly even just using the full 40-man roster on the up and up. So all of a sudden, if you don't have marquee players, if you thought you were going to get, you know, these other building blocks who are going to probably win out the job eventually, well, these guys are all platooners now. And that, I mean, where are you at? We have no idea what's going on. It makes zero sense to be stubborn about it. I'll just give you an example, Craig, of somebody who came at me about this article, claimed that, you know, oh, I drafted all these middle relievers who will now have all this great value for me, because maybe they get some saves and double headers and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe they will. Maybe elite closers will have, you know, the upper hand here. I mean, you can't tell me that any strategy that you formulated based on a 162-game season that started on March the 26th, okay, no. I mean, everything's out the window.
Yeah, no, and I don't understand how anybody could want that much luck involved in the conversation.
Well,
for fantasy.
I think you guys, this is a perfect opportunity. Howard, do me a favor. All of these guys that are dead set on keeping their original teams that they drafted, give them my number and I'll hold the book for them. I want to take their action all through the season. All right, Howard?
Seriously.
Just send them my way, brother. Just send them my way. I'm good. We're good. No questions asked. I'll take their action.
Thing is, Howard, the notion that that somebody who makes that kind of comment has only one team, that tells you all you need to know. They probably have 10 teams. Okay, so what about the other teams where you have all these guys that aren't going to play? It's like, you know, somebody asked me the other day about Casey Mize. So Casey Mize on the Tigers, of course, is going to be a major factor in fantasy in a couple of years. He'll be an elite starter at some point, right? We don't know if Casey Mize is going to start the season with the Tigers.
Yep.
We don't know if he's going to be able to play in the minor leagues. And we don't even know if there's going to be a specific call-up date if he's not in the minors at all. Like, how could you possibly value any kid on the brink of the majors right now?
Like, I don't even know if there's going to be extra innings. Like, none of the rules have been established yet.
So right. But here's the craziest thing of all, okay? Here's the most bonkers thing, is that every day I got to see, Howard, because, again, we're in the same community. I don't use industry as much, but we're in the same community, and I got to see people still drafting right now. I mean, and that's been going on for weeks. Now, again, I understand that the companies who are running drafts, you got to make money. I get it. You know, these guys are running a business. Fantasy Alarm is a business. Sports Grid is a business. We got to deliver content. That's why we're here. But I can't, with full transparency, tell people, yeah, it's a great idea to be drafting right now. To me, it just makes no sense whatsoever. I get why they're doing it. I get why the companies are doing it, because they got to make a buck. Here at Sports Grid, we got to make a buck too. We're giving out futures bets. That's predominantly what we did. We did it during the NFL draft as well. But for transparency's sake, season-long fantasy drafts, there's just no way I would partake right now.
No, listen, I say it to everybody. And you know what? We've actually halted our coverage on MLB best balls on the website, only because Why am I going to ask somebody, you know, hey, join me in this best ball draft. It's only going to be $20 and blah, blah, blah. Like, fine. The excitement of drafting with, you know, a bunch of fantasy analysts makes it intriguing, but to put money into it? No, that's why we've maintained that Fantasy Alarm, the mock draft army.
Right.
You know, my buddy Andy Spiteri is doing that. And he did, you know, he did a couple of leagues just based on the mock draft army participants. And they drafted now because of, you know, other mitigating circumstances. But, you know, this whole thing, you know, it's because we've been sitting there in the mock draft army having these conversations, understanding all these player profiles that the MLB draft guide at Fantasy Alarm is still churning out are all altered. Like, you know, we're talking about Mike Trout in a 100-game season right now.
Yeah.
We're talking about Christian Yelich in a possible 80-game spread. So, I mean, it's not, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to keep you guys informed and educated by not saying it's not all about money. You want to make some money here. We're offering free esports coverage for DFS.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Mitchell's crushing it with Counter-Strike.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, that's like, go ahead, make some money over there, but don't come pissing away your money on fantasy baseball right now until you know exactly when this season is going
to
happen.
Yeah, I would tell him to, Aaron, because it's me. Just look last year at who would have made the playoffs if the season ended at 100 games. And then look at who actually made the plays. And if anybody is to tell you they drafted a team based upon what they thought was going to be the 100 game mark, it's completely full of crap. You know it, and I know it. So you're talking about two totally different seasons just last year, and now we don't even know how many games that might going to be. If you want to throw your money out the window, by all means, call us up. I'll hang out under the window. I'm good to go. But I don't get it, Howard. I don't understand. If I don't know the rules, and there that most books, even books will tell you, you know, hey, listen, there's got to be at least 160 games if you're betting 162 game, you know, future bet. Yeah. We don't even know what those rules are. To me, it's completely asinine.
No, it's utterly ridiculous. It's just not smart. Like, that's what Craig and I talk about on our live stream all the time, is just making smart bets, making smart decisions with your money.
Knowing the rules.
I mean, it's crazy. It really is. How about people who are like, yeah, I'm all in on my head-to-head league. Like, when are your playoffs going to start?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, how much of a regular season are you going to have versus what your playoffs are? I mean, the fact that you don't know means that you're throwing, it's that gif of like Spanky from the Little Rascals, just chucking money out the window.
Yep.
That's it. Just here, take it.
So true.
It's insane.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. Well, I guess, you know, just your opinion real quick, Howard, on the news of yesterday, which was the NBA pushing back the opening up of their facilities a week. We got a report a couple of days ago that it was going to be on May 1st. Now we're hearing that it's going to be on May the 8th. Do you still hold optimism? I hold optimism for basically all the leagues playing at some point. My biggest concern is college football, just because they have to have fans. Mm-hmm. Fans have to be in the stands for college football to make money. I mean, it just has to be. But it feels like the NBA is trying to become the first out of the gate, and then I think hockey and baseball will follow. But I don't know if I should be taking it. I took it as a positive that they're going to be able to work out kids and they're going to, you know, their facility is going to be open on the first. But now them pushing it back to the 8th, should I go against that or still feel okay with it?
No, I think they're erring on the side of caution here. The draft is June. They're going to want to see these kids because obviously the cancellation of the NCAA tournament, where all these kids get to showcase themselves on the big stage, is now gone. So I think, you know, you can remain optimistic, but I look at this and I say 4th of July is really probably the optimum time for sports to start up with no fans. Let the baseball game start. You can finish off the NBA season and the NHL season and just roll right into their playoffs. Those are going to wrap up. Maybe you push the start of their next season back a little bit. You push it forward a little bit more. I know there's all been talk about the NBA actually just delaying the start of their season until Christmas time and then just running it through that way. So that way the NBA doesn't go from, you know, October through April and then into the playoffs. It just goes December with the playoffs wrapping up in like June, June or early July. And I think that that's probably just a smarter move for them to do it. So I'm holding out optimism. I'm not going to sit here and be one of those like, no, it's not going to work and people are stupid and stop hoping. No, I mean, listen, why not give people hope to see that there could be something coming back sooner rather than later? You take away people's hope. What are they going to do? What do they have to, you know, what are they going to look for with this shelter in place order and having to stay home? Now, you know, we're being told that the seasons are going to be canceled and there is no hope. Please, people are just going to be like, screw it. I'm just going to go hang out at the beach now and get me some COVID.
Let's face it, the NBA of all the sports has the least amount of people. You're talking about 10 guys on a roster, 11 guys on a roster. It's going to be the easiest one to keep quarantined if that's the way you're going to go. If the NBA doesn't make it, I don't know how you make an NHL team or a 40-man roster and in Major League. I don't know how you do that. So to me, the NBA's got to come out. You know, I mean, the NBA has to finish the season in some capacity.
Well, it better, man, because you just painted a bleak outlook there, Joe.
I'm just saying, if the NBA is like, you know what, we're just going to skip a champion this year. Dude, you got 9 guys on a team. Like, what the hell hope of baseball is that, Howard?
Oh, please, we already know who's going to be the NBA champion at the end of this year anyway. We can just crown him now.
Could be a 40-year-old LeBron James before it's all said and done.
Listen, Howard, before you go, you know, you've been broadcasting now for, I believe, almost a decade. I've been doing it forever. I would say that from a host and broadcast standpoint, I got to tell you, the last month, while, you know, certainly I think we're doing a great job here at Sports Grid, it has definitely been the most challenging for me ever. And I know that there are a lot of people that are out there that are saying it's amazing and it's great and we're putting out the best content. I mean, I don't think people realize how difficult it is doing sports without sports. And when I wake up and I watch the major sports shows in the morning, and I never used to, but I do now because I know I want to make sure that I'm on top of everything and maybe I'm missing something. And it's all about not sports. It's all about basically a show on about Michael Jordan. I mean, has it been as challenging in the fantasy world on your end as it has been on our end?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's been crazy challenging to, you know, put a 2-hour show together to sit there and talk, because, you know, it's so hard to talk when you don't know what the future is going to be, to sit there and talk baseball. Like, you know, thank you for the NFL draft. That really kind of saved the day because it gave you, you know, a week and a half to 2 weeks worth of content just to kind of roll into the draft. And now you've got about 2 weeks of content for after the draft before you have to start getting even more creative and start coming up with different things like, I don't know, maybe Monday Movie Madness, where Jim Bowden and Howard Bender suggest a great movie that won a Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor that you should probably rent on Netflix.
Good God.
Yeah, we've already been through all the movies, Howard. We've already done all the movies. We did the baseball movies. We did the sequels. We did the prequels.
I did something you told me to do, Craig. You were like, you know what I should do? I would do this. In the middle of the show, I called up my wife and I asked her what it was for dinner.
There you go.
Jackpot.
There you go. There you go. Usually I have my wife knocking on the door asking me what I want for dinner. Well,
lean
listen,
times,
Howard.
Times, folks. It's lean times, man.
Thank you again, Howard, for coming on. Really appreciate it. I know you got a lot of work to do, and certainly over at Fantasy Alarm, you know, I'm part of that family. They provide some unbelievable content. And as Howard mentioned, right now, esports is not only the only thing, but the hot thing going on right now. And until Fantasy Alarm starts doing bull riding, I'm headed over to do some interesting work on the DFS esports. And Howard, I look forward to catching up with you again soon. And thank you again for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it and wish you all the best.
Thanks for having me, guys. Absolute pleasure to see both of you.
All right, there he is, Howard Bender from Fantasy Alarm. Follow him on Twitter at RotoBuzzGuy. We are just getting started with the second hour of our show right here on Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Coming up next, you thought we were going to run out of iconic stadiums to review? Think again.
You were right. Oh, sorry.
you were right. We're faking it again today. We're digging down deep.
Oh, it's terrible.
DailyRoto.com.
Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks again to Howard Bender for coming on the show. Always a fun conversation with Howard, Joe, and always has some different views, I think, than I like. He doesn't always just go with the grain. He doesn't flock to the herd. I like that about him.
Very little animated and certainly knows his stuff, man. We love Howard.
And tomorrow we'll have Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports on the show. We'll go over some more fantasy football discussions, so stay tuned to that tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern right here on Sports Grid as we continue the fantasy football conversation from the draft. All right, so now it's time to cover a couple of stadiums and a couple of teams that we have not yet covered. And Joe, I thought we would dive back into college football today and maybe dive back into the Big Ten with one of the teams that we have not covered. How about that?
I love it. Let's go. We haven't been spent much time in the Big Ten here.
All right. So let's hit on the Michigan State Spartans.
Ooh.
At Spartan Stadium, East Lansing, Michigan. They opened up in 1923. And they are of home, of course, as I've said now for the third time, Michigan State Spartan. You see it right there. And wow, six college football championships. I don't think a lot of people would have guessed that. Now, a lot of them were in the 60s and 70s and then one in the 80s, and not much since then. But Michigan State has a nice, long, storied history. And Joe, a great rivalry, of course, between Michigan State and Michigan.
Absolutely.
But of course, Michigan also has their huge rivalry with Ohio State. But Michigan State also with a new head football coach coming up this year as well.
That's correct. It's a new era. It is a new time for Michigan State football. So sometimes things just get a little stale there, and it's time to move on. But a very storied franchise for sure. Didn't Kurt Gibson go to, was he in Michigan?
Well, don't ruin it.
I'm just saying.
You're getting ahead of the game.
Still a great stadium, though. From what I understand, it's nothing compared to Michigan, but in its own right, the stadium is absolute craziness there during football.
You know, here's the question for you. Before we get to the players here, do you think that there's a chance that the Big Ten ever becomes like the Big 12, or, you know, they start like doing... Because, like, Ohio State is in the Big Ten.
Right.
But they're not really running a Big Ten offense anymore at Ohio State. They're running the spread, you know, since Urban Meyer was there. It's completely changed. Like, they're throwing all over the place. Do you think that there will ever be a time where that will happen with some of the other teams in the Big Ten? Wisconsin doesn't really do it. I know Nebraska. Yeah, I mean, they run a little bit more wide open than some others. But Michigan State's, their offense is so boring over the last decade.
Yeah, it really, and that's kind of the problem with why it was kind of out with the old, in with the new. But I don't know that they're going to, you know, we've talked about Wisconsin. We covered, of course, their stadium and that program.
And Michigan.
It's Ohio hard. State. It's hard, man. They are kind of entrenched with the way they go about it. Ohio State is the outlier. I don't know that there's going to be anybody else like Ohio State certainly Michigan gets enough athletes. Michigan State gets enough athletes. But
true.
It's all about, you know, philosophical differences at that point.
Right. All right. So let's look at the iconic players from Michigan State, shall we?
Ooh.
Who's your favorite here?
God, I got some good guys on this.
Let's go through them one by one. All right. Yeah. Bubba Smith. What is Bubba Smith known for the most, would you say?
Police Academy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right?
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. Although he was a pretty good football player, too.
Really good. Yes. College Football Hall of Famer as well.
Yep.
Flozell Adams, wow. Pro Bowler year after year after year with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Got to be on here. Tony Mandarich, Joe.
Yeah.
First overall pick in the NFL draft. I think it's fair to say that when we do our busts and we've done them, Mandarich is always on the bust list, right? He's always got to be. Like, how is it possible that this guy was so good in college as a lineman and couldn't play in the NFL? I mean, that's just baffling to me.
It's amazing, too. Talk about one of the all-time greatest busts, huh? It doesn't get any better than good old
But how would you get so misidentified as an offensive lineman? Like, how does that happen?
Good point.
Like, you're scouting the guy for 4 years. All he's doing is this, right?
Very interesting. Yeah, don't quite
and then,
know.
And then, how does that happen? We got to go a deeper dive on that.
Yeah, his story is an interesting one, too, if I remember correctly.
Was maybe he on steroids or something like that?
He was He was definitely on steroids, yeah. Yeah, when he stopped playing, I think he lost like 200 pounds or something. It was crazy. The before and after photos are pretty amusing, actually.
I could understand if you draft an offensive lineman in the second round, the third round, the fifth round, and they're a bust. Like, it just didn't work out. But the first overall pick?
And he got hurt, too, right away. I mean, it was not good. And it was quite obvious rather quickly, like, ooh, this is, we didn't get this one right. So,
can't get him all right.
But he was a great college player. Don't get me wrong.
He was great. Yep. Yeah, for sure. Le'Veon Bell played at Michigan State.
Yes,
people probably remember that one. Charles Rogers, speaking of bust, was also a huge NFL bust. Second overall pick in the NFL draft.
Wow.
Stud at Michigan State, but nothing in the NFL. Andre Rison, without a doubt. Star, college, pro.
Absolutely.
And then Plaxico Burress I got here as well.
Yep.
Michigan State pumping out those receivers. Not recently.
No.
But in history, they did.
Yep.
And I think that in the NFL, maybe Flozell Adams had the best career of all these players. I mean, Plaxico, I guess, maybe second. I don't know.
Yeah, they had a couple other pretty good players too over in the day. I think Brian Hoyer went there. I believe Hoyer was a quarterback there. So was our boy there, or your boy there, current Minnesota Vikings quarterback. Remember him, Kirk Cousins? And
yes, Kirk Cousins.
Yep. Yeah. And
Kirk Gibson was the one that I wanted to bring up, but you ruined.
So Drew Stanton was another guy.
Drew Stanton was good there too.
Yep. Yeah. But Carl Banks was also a Michigan State alum there, pretty good linebacker with the Giants. And one of my all-time favorite wide receivers, I thought was just pure money, was Derek Mason back in the day with Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, I like
that. And he was also a pretty good fantasy player there, too. And, yeah, they've had their share of players. They should have been so much better some years than they ever were. Just couldn't get past Michigan and Ohio State. That was it.
Yeah, how is Michigan State ever going to beat Ohio State? Like, how is that ever going to happen based on the kind of offense they run?
Not anymore. Yeah, exactly.
I guess
was not going to. It was never going to. It got so stale so quick. And, you know, D'Antoni was just a guy that was like, we've always done it this way. So, that's not going
to. Yeah, he ended up quitting, but
yes.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess I sort of believe that, but.
Yeah, I don't.
You got paid.
I think they just quietly save face before the whole world comes down on you. So
sounds right.
I don't think he'll be ever coaching in college again.
Maybe a smaller school.
Kirk Gibson.
I mean, he was really good. He was really good as a coach with them, but they just
he had his era. Yeah, absolutely.
Nine wins, ten wins, but. Yep. You know, no championship.
New champion.
Nick Saban won it. Nick Saban was Michigan State's head coach, right?
He was there. Yes, that's correct. Yep, Michigan State. He's part of that whole Saban tree there. So, listen, they've had their players. They've had their opportunities. The problem is the game kind of passed them by over the last few years. And you know how that works with recruiting. If, you know, when you're now going from, instead of being able to take some of these players that go to Ohio State, Michigan, and now they don't even, you're just getting the leftovers. That's what happens.
Yep. All right. So from football, let's move over to basketball. And of course, everyone on Sunday nights is watching The Last Dance. It's like the only thing that's on right now. Like Tiger King so far in the rearview mirror at this point. Yeah. So Tiger King feels like 2 years ago.
When was that? I don't really remember that.
It does. Just happened. It feels like forever.
It five times and I don't remember.
All right. North Carolina, Dean Smith Center, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We did Duke. We got to give North Carolina their run here. And, you know, certainly have won a lot of national championships, too.
Yes.
And the Tar Heels are a lot of, you know, kids' favorite team, of course, because of Michael Jordan. But they also had some really great players there. It's like, who do you think that people root more for, Joe? Is it Duke or North Carolina? Which one do you think?
Oh, that's brutal. They're not that far apart.
Like, if you're not a fan of either team, do you have a preference? Like, if they play each other, who you would root for?
I would usually go North Carolina. I just don't like Duke. Never really liked Duke.
I know. Why do people not like Duke?
Lost a lot of money betting against Duke. Yeah, I was a big Kentucky fan, so, you know, never really forgave Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, that whole crew. So, yeah, no. So it just kind of sticks with you, and then you're like, you know what? Well, you know, Dean was there, and then, of course, Roy shows up, and you're hoping that North Carolina continues the tradition of beating Duke, but didn't always work out that way over the years.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. But four championships is impressive still.
Yeah, and more than that, even before they opened up their stadium there in 1986. Yep. All right, so let's go through some of the iconic players that played at North Carolina. And for this one, because of Michael Jordan, I decided let's just go back throughout North Carolina history and forget about the Dean Dome. Because honestly, if you make a list without Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan didn't play, didn't play in the new one, played in the old one. Michael Jordan at the top of the list. People forget how good Sam Perkins was in college. He was an pro. His eyes were like half shut half the time. But either way, Sam Perkins was a really good college player, good NBA player as well. James Worthy, of course, many years in North Carolina. Vince Carter did not have a memorable career, but I would say, in my opinion, Vince Carter may be the second most popular North Carolina player of all time just because of the dunking.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And Vince, let's play. I mean, he played till he's still 50 and he's still playing, I think, right? So, I mean,
I mean, they think that he's played his last game essentially, but
I wouldn't count on it. You never
know. He could come back again.
No, he was.
What team was he on? Atlanta, I think, or Dallas?
He just finished up with Atlanta. So it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, Fred, Vince Carter kind of put Toronto on the map with the Raptors when they first came to the league. So longevity, well-respected, good guy, also a great college basketball player.
Yeah, great, unbelievable dunker. Antoine Jameson, and you know, when I did my research for this, stats-wise, Tyler Hansborough was the number one all-time guy in North Carolina.
Yeah. Wow.
Playing four years there. Yeah, I never would have thought in a million years that would be the case. Of course, you don't, you know, associate him as being an iconic player, but stats-wise, he was All-American two straight years with them. And, you know, points-wise, rebounds, everything. So, all right, so who did I miss? Who did I miss, Joe?
No, I mean, listen, UCup, when it comes to the, I think, didn't Stackhouse go there?
I got Jerry Stackhouse on the honorable mention.
All right. So, yeah, I thought Stackhouse went there. And, I mean, you got Vince, Antoine. I mean, you named pretty much.
I got a few more I'll give you.
Go ahead. What else you got on there?
Brad Daugherty.
Ooh, yeah. He's actually in this Jordan documentary here.
Billy Cunningham. Also, that goes back a while.
Wow. But, yes, also North Carolina. Yep. Yep.
And Ty Lawson in more recent.
Also
memory.
Good. Good. I think Rasheed Wallace, too. I think Rasheed Wallace was there for a couple of years, too. That was
he
also,
may have only done 1 year there or two.
Was he one or 2 year? I think he was there. They were actually pretty good then there, too. And the other guy from the broadcast, Kenny Smith, I believe, was also a North Carolina Dean Smith alum there. So. And this shows you how far back that reaches.
All right, so we gave people a couple of days. We've made a commitment that on Monday we're not going to discuss the documentary from ESPN because we want to give people some time.
Right.
And we're not going to spend a ton of time on it because I still don't want to ruin it. But have you now had a chance to dive in on the latest two episodes? It was like kind of like the Rodman show. It really was.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great reminder, and it's so funny as I'm watching that and I'm watching the 89. But you know that Michael Jordan Bulls team there about it's how it had such a hard time getting past Isaiah and Detroit, and then of course Rodman leaving Detroit a year or two, I think, in San Antonio, then eventually made it their way over to the Bulls, and how, you know, that period of time where Pippen was MIA there in that second three-peat, if it was not for Dennis Rodman, people don't realize that, you know, he kind of missed his Robin there. You had Batman and no Robin. Dennis Rodman was that Robin to Michael Jordan there for a significant portion of that season. So his heart was never, I should say, you can question a lot of things about Dennis Rodman. His ability to show up when that whistle blew was never one thing they ever worried about.
Yeah, and a lot, you know, I told my story about Dennis Rodman I told it on this show about mm-hmm. He asked me to wash his car, right?
Yes, absolutely, give you the keys. And that's so him, exactly. But, and even Jordan, you know, he was a guy that everyone kind of let Dennis be Dennis, and Michael did it better than anybody. Just let him be Dennis. When the chips were down and they knew somebody, he knew that Dennis Rodman was going to be there, period. Like, he knew that, and Dennis did, and they don't have that second three-peat without Rodman at all.
Do you feel bad at all for Isaiah Thomas? He comes off, you know, kind of as the sad figure here.
Arrogant please. And Michael's right.
You think he should have been on the dream team?
No, I don't. And it was his attitude, I think, that had more than anything else to do with it. And listen, Chuck Daly didn't have you on. I don't know what to tell you. What does that tell you about you, Isaiah? What does that speak?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, your own coach didn't think.
Michael Jordan wouldn't play on it unless Isaiah wasn't there, I guess.
They were arrogant. You know, that whole bad boy Detroit things, and Michael never forgive him for that, ever. You know?
Doesn't look like.
They were kind of not nice.
Yeah.
They were really not nice.
And that's the extent of what we will do here on the document. I hate when people ruin shows for me, so we're not going to ruin this show for you.
But if you lived it, check it out. If you didn't, I mean, it'll be
No, it's a good education tool, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
As well.
Yep.
All right, so we got to take a quick commercial timeout. When we come
now
back,
everyone's friends.
There's good news for Joe Ranieri coming up next.
Oh, no.
There is really good news for Joe Ranieri starting on Wednesday. Ooh. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell Joe about the good news starting on Wednesday. Not for everybody, but it is good news for Joe.
Stand by.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe back here with you on the show. Don't forget, like and subscribe to our show. Go ahead and check out our YouTube channel on Sports Grid, because we have all of the recaps from all of the picks that were made in the NFL draft, covering you from a betting perspective, a fantasy perspective, and everything that you could possibly ask for. And we had so many people viewing that stuff. Go back and check it out if you haven't seen it already. Also, don't forget, make sure you catch our show, Joe and I, every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, live right here on sportsgrid.com. Of course, a lot of you are watching on Pluto TV, Zumo TV, or even on Stir. Let us know how you're watching on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Hit us up at SportsGrid, at Craig Mish, and at Joe Ranieri. Those are the ways that you can hit us up here on the show. Before we get to the big reveal here.
Okay.
Before we get to the big story of what will be Wednesday, but of today, I gotta ask a question here. Now, I got my phone here.
All right.
Can you see it?
Okay. I see it. Yep.
Every Tuesday, Monday, Thursday, I get the same notification on my phone, and it's so sad, but yet I don't turn it off. It notifies me, Joe, that our Little League game is about to begin.
Yes.
You know, the season is basically over, but for some reason, I can't delete the app. Like, I don't want to delete it. And it's like the weirdest thing. Like, I see it and I go, oh, yeah. Now, I don't have notifications for a lot of things on my phone. I hate just getting blown up on my phone.
Right.
But it's the one thing that I feel kind of sad about, that we have no Little League games. And for some reason, I can't bring myself to just hit the delete button or turn off the notifications, because I kind of like seeing, oh, we would have had a game. Oh, we would have had a game, yeah.
Even for that brief moment, it does give you that sense of somewhat normalcy. Like, it kind of hits you. But when you first get it, you're like, we're not going to play. But it certainly does give you that brief half a second where
it does,
you know, that jolt where, oh, I should be at a Little League game, shouldn't I?
Yeah, we're playing in the backyard like every day.
Nice.
Me and my son are playing almost every single day in the backyard, throwing.
I'll
some
be over
hitting
with the wiffle ball, and we'll see
he's
how it
getting
goes.
There. He's really getting there. As opposed to a year ago, he couldn't even really throw a ball or play t-ball. I mean, he's making a lot of progress.
Loves that's it
the
now.
One, awesome. Yeah, it's the one thing that's really come out of this, as far as, you know, shockingly. I never would have thought I'd have this much time to play.
Are you icing down at night? Are you icing the arm? Are you all right? How's the elbow?
You know, his arm his arm was bothering him a little bit.
No, not him. You, I'm worried about. Not him. He'll be fine.
Oh, me? No.
He'll be fine. It's you I'm worried about.
Yeah, there was actually an injury last week.
Okay.
Yeah, there was.
Okay.
Yeah, there was. Right. Now he threw. What happens is, again, I have a backyard.
Right.
But to say that I have a big backyard would be false. But picture a backyard in a gated community. That's kind of what I have.
Right. All right.
So it's like, how would I put the dimensions here? It's probably maybe 20 feet by 20 feet
right.
by 20
feet. Yeah, it's enough to have a catch, absolutely.
Right, so we have a catch, you know? But behind me is the other house, essentially, you know?
Yes.
So he threw the ball.
Oh, no.
And he always throws well, but it was a little bit of an errant throw, but I didn't really make a strong attempt.
Okay.
So it went over my head.
Right.
But it was a relatively hard throw, and it hit the wall and bounced back and hit me in the neck.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh. And that was the only
ricocheted.
Injury.
You got the ricochet, did you?
I got the ricochet effect. So my neck was like,
ouch,
stiff for
mm-hmm.
a couple of days.
Yeah, after that, you got a little soreness in the arm, throwing all the. I get it. I understand.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
I actually dug up an old glove and breaking it in now and everything.
Nice. Bringing the oil out, doing it old school.
I got
school,
the
huh?
oil out. I got,
love it. Love it. Going old school on us. I love it.
Okay. So, what is so exciting about Joe Ranieri's life?
Yes, what is
starting on Wednesday?
Come on,
this is a big deal.
Yes,
this is a big deal. Joe will be able to play golf again.
No,
starting on Wednesday in I think it, I don't know if it's Dade County. I have to check this, but definitely in Broward County.
Yes.
You will be able to play golf in Florida, in Broward County, under certain restrictions. So let's review them.
Okay.
First of all, you cannot share a golf cart with anyone.
Perfectly okay with that.
You have to stand 6 feet away from whoever you're playing with.
Check.
You can't pull out the pin.
Done. So far, so good, man. Nothing I don't normally already do anyway, so we're good to go.
And you and you have to wear a mask when you're not playing.
Great. All right, done. Already doing that, too, as well.
So that's it.
Get
so
me when, on the golf course. Yes.
Now, how are you going to have any time to do this, though, is my question.
Probably not, but it's just the idea, knowing that I can. Yes, it's kind of like your alarm there, that you should be at a Little League game. The idea that I could look at my phone and actually book a tee time, exactly, is half the battle. So I'm
I think you have Saturday, but nothing to do, pretty much. Don't you have
I could
a day
kill
Saturday.
A couple hours. It would be nice to be able to go.
Saturday, tee time, you should go play Saturday. Yeah. You should reward yourself for all your hard work that you've done on Saturday.
Yes, I should go out there and get and go out and shoot 200 with a mask on. I think it'll be great.
Let's go.
Absolutely. I think that's... And I got
no sharing of a ball. Obviously, that goes without saying.
There are going to be a lot of people out on the golf course, which it's like the social distancing sport, though. That's what cracks me up.
Oh, I know. That's the one thing you can get away with. Now, listen, basketball courts are also open.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
But you can only play horse.
Okay.
And you have to play with your own ball.
I'd love to see that enforced. Yes, that's going to be interesting. Yeah. That's going to be fun
watch. You know what the bottom line is? You may just not want to play basketball yet.
That's it.
Golf sounds legit. Like this, like I'm not a big golfer, but this sounds legit. Like I think the courses are going to be open and people are going to pull this off.
Absolutely.
People are going to start playing. It sounds realistic.
Yep. Everybody's got
Stand far
anyway.
Away.
Yep.
No you have your own cart. Go play. That's I mean, it may take a little bit longer, but whatever. Play nine then.
Yeah, doesn't make a darn. It's not even going to take that much longer, really, because it's just it's everyone gets their own cart and you're good to go. I mean, it's not that hard to. I love it. I love the idea that. When are they doing this? Today or is it tomorrow? They're doing it.
Wednesday.
We're doing it tomorrow. All right. So I'm in, man. We're booking some tee time this weekend. And I'll let you know. I'll do a live
Saturday
report from there.
I know Friday's tough for you and Sunday's tougher. Yep.
We're doing a live report from the golf course. We'll let you know exactly what we got going on there. Mask and all.
A couple of other just offbeat stories here. Mm-hmm. And then I want to hit on Trevor Lawrence here for a minute. But Microsoft Word made an announcement yesterday, Joe.
Okay.
And the announcement is that from now on, mm-hmm. it will be incorrect to have two spaces in between sentences on any kind of Microsoft Word document. They are changing the rules that we knew about Microsoft Word for the last 20 years.
Right.
So instead of two spaces, there will be one.
Really? So is that, so if I hit the space in between two, they're not going to allow it? Is that really?
No, it's going to take you to one space in between as opposed to two, which is how it's always been for the last, I mean, this is earth shattering type stuff here.
Wow.
And during the pandemic that this is the focus.
Glad they've got their stuff together at Microsoft that they can.
Do you use Microsoft Word at all?
I do. Yes, I do. I use Word a lot, but I never really got into the whole more than one space kind of thing because it's not very appropriate.
Well, I think on yours, it probably won't get all updated, but when they put out their new stuff, however they do it, whenever you buy something and then, you subscribe or you get Microsoft Word, it comes with it, you pay extra. From now on, when you do it, whenever that is, when you hit return, it's going to take you right to the next.
Correct. Yeah, wow, that's crazy. That is, I'm glad they put their foot down because absolutely nobody likes that double space. Nobody.
No, they don't. No. It's like me being very close to the camera,
It's like typing in all caps. It's just, it's very rude. And, I'm glad they decided to do
rude.
Something.
Yeah. It's not the way I would have described it.
It's just rude. It's rude. It really is. You offend all people if you double space like that. So
it's very offensive. Yep. Maybe all texts now have to be single space too. Going to be an announcement.
Exactly. Thanks, Mike.
Now to the realistic talk here. We just had the 2020 NFL draft. I think that we would agree that in 2021, Trevor Lawrence, barring something insane, is probably going to be the first overall pick. But here is my question. Burrow outplayed Trevor Lawrence in the national championship game, and it wasn't relatively close. I get it. Right. I still like Trevor Lawrence better than I like Joe Burrow. If it was up to me and I had my pick amongst all the players, I would have taken Trevor Lawrence over Joe Burrow. And I think that rather than pulling a Miami Dolphins half tank, and they got lucky and they got Tua anyway. By the way, they got lucky getting Tua because Tua got hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
If Tua didn't get hurt, they wouldn't have got him. Like, they're saying it's all Dolphins. They got him anyway. They got him anyway because Tua got hurt. Would have been the second pick in the draft for sure. Maybe the first.
Yep.
I think that Carolina or Jacksonville, I mean, go all in. Embrace the tank. Go 2-14 or 1-15 for this guy.
Yep, I agree. Somebody's going to do it. You know it. I know it.
But they didn't. But I thought the Dolphins were going to do it last year.
Yeah.
They got funny at the end.
Yeah, but it still worked out for them. They got the guy that they ultimately
They got him, but not out of their own stupidity of winning. Listen, they had no business winning that game in New England last year. They could have easily lost, and everyone would have been fine with it.
Totally ridiculous.
But it almost cost them getting the quarterback.
It almost did. It almost did. And it would have been interesting if somebody had jumped them, and I would have loved to have seen exactly what was going to be the next move there. Because Herbert may not have been an option for them, and that changes the whole thing. But as it turns out, listen, they got their quarterback. They also were able to establish a culture there in Miami where it did, you know, they got blown out by 50 points there in the first game against Lamar and company, and where they started and where they finished. You know, they shedded all the big contracts. They did it right. Miami's done everything in the tank book. They've followed it to a T. They've done it better than the process with Miami has been better than many other teams have who have come close. And Miami for years, you know this, they were the definition of mediocrity. They always, congratulations with the 15th pick.
Or 7-9.
Oh, it's like, come on. Yeah.
But you know what? I'll tell you why I disagree a little bit. Because the Dolphins executed the tank plan in terms of building a roster for the season.
Right.
But they defied that with the way that they played in the second half of the year. They started 0-7 or 0-8. Like, that was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were executing that plan. I mean, no one in their right mind after game one of watching them lose to Baltimore thought that they had any shot at winning two games.
Yes.
None. I mean, the lines on those games, they were what, 28-point dogs against Dallas? 27-point dogs?
It was ugly.
And so it leads me to believe that no matter what you do in the NFL, if your general manager or organization sets you up, potentially, let's call it Jacksonville, right? Like, if Jacksonville trades that defensive end and they trade Fournette, right? Like, if those two guys are gone, Joe,
you know,
before the season starts, Jacksonville is not, they should not win 3 or 4 games, even with Minshew playing okay.
Right.
With all the players that they would get rid of, but there's pride, there's uncertainty.
Yep.
And because of that, I just don't think that there's any such thing as a full-on tank, because the Dolphins, while they executed it going into the year, their execution was poor on that at the end of the year, and it almost cost them their guy.
It's kind of hard because you're trying to establish a culture there, right? As a new coach, as a and it may not. It's that tough nose, never give up. You can't sell tank. I mean, organizations tank, players don't. So, I mean, that's the big thing, too, that people don't realize, is that while, yes, the very top of the food chain may be like, we ain't planning on winning a lot of games, players don't tank. That's just not who they are. They're not built like that. So kind of hard in this sport to emphasize, hey, guys, we really need Tua. So at that particular point, establish a culture of toughness, and whatever happens, happens.
I mean, the Dolphins traded every viable player they had last year, right before the season started. Jacksonville seems like they're on that track.
It's going to happen. I'm with you. I think they're going to start collecting assets for next year's draft right now.
As they should, and then they could get, and potentially getting Trevor Lawrence is like getting, I mean, Burrow, we'll see, but it is like chasing down a Burrow, where it could potentially alter your whole franchise. And
it's also
worth
easier
that.
To do in the NFL, though, because you don't have to wait as long in order to rebound and become viable again.
Right. Well, the NBA is similar.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, you got to hope for ping pong.
It depends on who the guy. Yeah, that's true, too. It's not a guarantee.
The NFL helps you lose. Like, they help you get better.
Right.
Everything they do about giving you the first pick if you suck. I mean, everything they do down the line is they give you every chance to go ahead and right the ship. So, and for those teams that have not been able to do it, that tells you a little bit something like that. The whole league is geared towards I mean, if you finish last, you're not playing the first place team next year. Right. You're playing the team that finished last.
But Carolina's tanking too, right?
Sort of. I can't see Carolina winning. I just not with that.
Five games?
I mean,
but I feel like with them getting Bridgewater and having McCaffrey, it's not really. I mean, there's more talent there than Jacksonville, right?
Are the Redskins tanking?
Well, I don't know. Every year.
I don't know. You know, you're talking about new. And you've got new coaches trying to establish cultures in there.
Right.
It's tough, man. It's tough for these teams.
I'll still go with Jacksonville.
And what is Chicago going to do?
I don't know. But they have to try and win now. I don't think they're in a position to not try
I think
win.
Jacksonville is prime.
It feels like that's the direction. Like, okay receivers, okay offensive line. They're gutting the defense.
Yep.
I mean, they're going to lose Ramsey, Calais Campbell, and Ndakwe. And it's like the three best players they had.
That was it. It's all they had left. And it's like, okay.
And if they trade Fournette, who are they going to run?
Nobody. Not going to happen.
Jones-Drew?
No, they might bring him back, yeah.
Or Fred Taylor.
Madden football player now, too. I think they are. The tank is on, and it's going to be. I don't even know what that prop bet must be, but the odds of
4.5 wins for them.
Trevor Lawrence odds being the number one pick next year. You could just take it to the bank.
I love that guy, man.
Yep.
I know he had a bad game against Ohio State, but I've watched him play so much, and
take it back. It wasn't
the year before they won the championship with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I'm in on that guy.
Nope, I don't blame you.
All right, that'll do it for our show for today. Thanks to Howard Bender for coming on. Appreciate that. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern right here on Sports Grid. So make sure you tune in. For my co-host Joe Ranieri, I'm Craig Mish. Reminding you, those of you who are out there, stay safe, wash your hands, try to practice social distancing, even though a lot of the country is opening back up. Mm-hmm. Please stay safe. Don't get sick. We want sports back soon. I know you guys do too. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. Also, don't forget to catch Joe and Dane in the morning on the early line. Until then, have a great one. For Joe, I'm Craig. See ya.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.